So good to see your beautiful faces again. Thank you. That gives me a chance to take a swig of my beautiful. Oh, thank you. I just spilled that all over my jacket. Wow. I'm still learning to drink water. It's kind of a lifelong thing that you...
I hope I didn't get the mic. We're good.
Sorry, Steph. Okay. Hello. I'm here. We good?
That cause problems.
All's well? Cool. Okay. Does anybody like campfires? Anybody? I'm a big fan of campfires. I love campfires so much that the end of last year, I just mentioned to my wife, we should probably get a fire pit. Little did I know that she had already purchased like this foldable, portable fire pit. Like goes in a bag, it's really sweet. And she already bought it for me for Christmas, so she knows me way too well. This is the first fire in our fire pit. And my first few fires, I was on fire. I was just doing well. And we had even a former Boy Scout come and tell me that my log placement was spot on. So that really enlarged the size of my head there. And I was really excited about, you know, continuing this journey of building fires in my new fire pit. But then earlier this year, I was trying to build a fire. I had everything set up. 30 minutes go by, still no fire. Maybe a little bit of a trickle of a flame, nothing. Hour goes by, I just can't get this fire started. My kids run up and they're like, "Hey Dad, do you want to play a game with me?" And I'm like, "No, I'm trying to build this fire so that you can roast marshmallows." But my kids don't really like roasting marshmallows. They like to eat the s'mores without roasting them. And I told them these are not s'mores. But, you know, it's just the way it goes. And so I'm, you know, frustrated. Clearly, my wife comes to try and console me and says, "You know, babe, it's not a big deal. It's going to be fine. Just enjoy the moment." And for some reason, I couldn't enjoy the moment. And looking back, I'm just wondering, like, why was I so upset about such a little thing? I mean, if I can't, like, find joy in, like, failed performance in a campfire, how am I going to find joy in the midst of a real trial, right? How am I going to rejoice always as God instructs us to do? Graduates, church family, we were all created in Jesus to be people marked by consistent joy, no matter the circumstance. And the more that we make it our habit to recognize, seek, and surrender to our God, the source of eternal joy, the more I believe we will be overflowing with joy on even our darkest days. The author of Psalm 43 was no stranger to dark days. "Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" Have you ever been there? A dark season of the soul where you soak your pillow at night with tears and you just are wondering, "God, where are you in this? Where are you in this?" Well, even in the dark season of the soul for the author here of Psalm 43, he was able to recognize God, his eternal source of joy. Check this out. "Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy." Remember that. "And I will praise you with the lyre. Oh God, my God, my exceeding joy. Isn't that a beautiful name for God? Isn't that awesome? So, in the Hebrew, there's actually two nouns present in this phrase, God, my exceeding joy. So, the Young's literal translation, it renders the joy of my rejoicing. How cool is that? God is the joy behind my loud praise. Isn't that sweet? And then I love what Albert Barnes was a 17th century American theologian, and you can access like all of his notes in the Bible on BibleHub.com, I believe it is. Here is what he says about this phrase. The Hebrew is, or the Hebrew phrase, my exceeding joy, the joy of my rejoicing, is the gladness of joy, meaning that God was the source of his joy, so that he found all his happiness in him. Yes, there are many sources of joy, and I'm not saying that it's bad to find joy in things other than God. In fact, he made us to experience joy, right? He made us to experience joy in a beautiful day that he has made. Rejoice and be glad in it, right? He's made us to experience joy with one another. The Apostle Paul is always talking about how other believers are his joy, right? And also, as hard as it is sometimes to believe, we were made to have joy in our work. Yes, joy can be found in money, in many things, but there's only one source of eternal joy. Check out what the psalmist King David says. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You can search the world and you will never find anything that comes anywhere close to that. Nothing will provide the fullness of joy, the pleasures forevermore like our King Jesus. And Ecclesiastes tells us that eternity is written on our hearts. And although it's good and right to take joy in temporal things, we must recognize that we are in desperate need for an eternal source of joy. We must recognize that we are hungry for the bread of life, for the living water, our King Jesus. No matter how good his creation is, the Creator is always better. No matter how good the creation is, the Creator is always better. I failed to recognize that truth in the campfire incident, right? We can find joy in a job well done, right? And so that's a good thing, but my problem was I was looking to a imperfect source of joy, my performance, to satisfy my longing for a perfect source of joy, our great God. And that was the problem. I was looking to an imperfect source of joy to satisfy my longing for a perfect source of joy. So, we've got to recognize the source of our joy, and then we've got to seek the source. You can recognize something's good and never taste of its goodness. Veggies, for instance, right? We all know veggies are good for us, but until we taste them and ingest them, we do not receive the benefits to our body, right? God is so much better than vegetables, let me tell you, right? Okay? But here's the point, right? We can recognize all we want that God is the eternal source of joy and never come to him to experience that joy. We will not personally experience his joy until we stop, seek him, and encounter the one we are thirsty for. The psalmist of Psalm 43, which is actually might be a collection of psalmists, many believe that the author of Psalm 43 is the same author of Psalm 42, the sons of Korah. The author says this, "Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling." When I read that, I can hear the Leland song. I just want to be where you are. That's the heart cry of the psalmist. Similar heart cry right here. Many of us know this, right? As a deer pants for flowing streams. Man, I'm thirsty again. This happened last service. So pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I don't know what it's like to pant for deer like a water, but for pant for water like a deer. There you go. Pant for a deer like a water. Very cool. I don't know what it's like. Let's try that again. Rewind. Okay. Go to the same spot. Okay, now we're ready. I don't know what it's like to pant for water like a deer, but I have a little bit of experience of what it's like to pant for water like a human, as many of you do. I was on a trip with the youth group. I was but a young whippersnapper, and Pastor Dan was our youth pastor, and I was so glad that camping veteran Dan Seaman was there, because I had no idea what in the world I was doing. My favorite part of my first camping trip, which was like a 20-mile hike, I really chose a great one to step in on, was seeing the sign for water. Oh my goodness, it was so awesome. We're like, yes, water, a break. So if you want water, you've got to go to the source, right? If we want eternal joy, we've got to go to the source. We must follow Jesus in making our habit to get away from the noise, right? He made it his habit, we see that in Luke 5, to get away from the noise and to seek his Father in the solitary place. We've got to do that, guys. We've got to commit to that. Also, we have to learn the secret of abiding in him, the secret of doing more and more with him, less and less without him. Let's form that habit, church. That habit of recognizing and seeking him, even if it's a few seconds. I'm trying to learn this. Even if it's a couple minutes in your day where you just stop and you say, God, I can't do this without you. I need you. Fill me with your joy. Let's make that our habit, church. Let's make this the truth that we cling to, that in a dry and weary land, we only have one true source of water. Only one person that can quench our thirst for eternal joy. Our Father God, our King Jesus, and our faithful guide, Holy Spirit. So, we recognize the source of our joy. We seek the source, and then we surrender to the source. Can I tell you one more story? You guys good with that? Okay. So, I've shared this with the youth group, so sorry guys, you get to hear it again. But a condensed version, so don't worry. I was at the end of a work week, been preparing for about 3 weeks on this message that I'm giving at youth group. It was a real doozy. And I came to the end of the work week, about ready to get in my car, and the message was still unfinished. I had no idea how I was going to finish this thing. Normally, that would have ruined my night, because I would be thinking about it all Friday night, and then I wouldn't be able to enjoy my Saturday Sabbath. So it would just be consuming my mind, and I would not be present with my family. But something changed. I just felt it on my heart, like, I need to start thanking God. So on my extremely long 1 minute ride home, I just start thanking God. I was just like, God, you got this. It was sheepish at first. It was like, God, you got this? You know, that kind of like question. You got this, right? And then I started to remember, like, oh my goodness, Dustin, like, how many times has God, like, come through for you? Like, he never fails you. God, you're never going to fail. I surrender this to you. You've got this. Side note, that ended up being one of the best messages I've ever delivered at youth group. Isn't God good, right? His strength is made perfect in our weakness. One other thing I learned from that situation, not only did I learn the power in surrendering to God through thanksgiving, because when I surrendered to him with thanksgiving, I was filled with his joy. Not only did I learn that, but I also learned that I wasn't on this journey alone. Not only was Jesus right there with me as I was surrendering to him, but also he had given me a brother in Christ who was praying for me. I have recently just started meeting with an accountability partner. He's a sweet brother of mine, and I told him, man, I'm having so much trouble having joy when situations are not ideal. I'm really struggling with this, man. Can you pray for me? And he was praying for me. Isn't that awesome? We are meant to walk on this journey of joy, not isolated, but alongside fellow brothers and sisters so that we can walk in joy together. Isn't that awesome? Before I close, I want to make mention of one final note. Receiving and walking in God's joy is not some formula we cook up in the lab, right? So at that time, surrendering to his joy looked like me thanking him, right? Another time this week, it just looked like me saying, God, I need you. Fill me with your joy, right? It's going to look different at different seasons, and different seasons are going to be harder. Like one time that time when I thanked God and received his joy, I felt it. But the time when I said, God, fill me with your joy, I didn't feel it. And so many times I don't feel God's joy, but that's an opportunity to let him build our faith muscles, right? To step out, and even if we don't feel his joy, we trust that he's going to give it, so we step out and we rejoice anyway. And I know that the situations I shared are so minuscule. So minuscule. And I know many of you are struggling with huge, unbearable impossibilities. And we might not always have something to rejoice in, but we always have someone to rejoice in. We might not always have something to rejoice in, but we always have someone to rejoice in who's bigger and better than anything we face. So, graduates, church family, let's learn to recognize our source of joy. Let's learn to seek him. And let's learn to surrender to him. And as I close right now in prayer, I want to lead you in a time of prayerful reflection where we're going to recognize, seek, and surrender to our eternal source of joy right now. So please, join me in prayer. Father, we want to recognize how good you are. You are our water in this dry and weary land. So right now, I want to invite you, just in your own heart, in your own mind, just recognize God. Just praise him right now. Thank him that he's better. Maybe you have a list of things in your life. God, you're better than my job. You're better than these relationships. You're better than this. Oh, just thank him for being the eternal source of joy that he is. Just take a minute to praise him right now. Oh God, we recognize that there is none like you. There's no one who fills us with joy like you. There's no one who is the wellspring of life like you. God, you're so perfect. We honor you today. Well, we're just going to walk now into a time of preparing for a week of seeking him. Preparing for a week of seeking him. So I just invite you right now just to cry out to God. Ask him to reveal himself to you this week. Ask him to give you eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart that's ready to wait. Man, I need that. A heart that is not going to rush to the next thing, but just wait on him. Ask him for a heart to obey. Father, as the deer pants for water, so our soul longs after you. Fill us with a greater hunger for you, God. And I invite you, church family, just to, even right now in this moment, if you want to do it on your phone somewhere, maybe later today, set aside a time. Set aside a time for extended time with him where you don't have to rush off to something else. Set that time this week. We need that, church. We can't live without that. Set that time alone with him to be filled with his joy. I invite you to do that. Oh, Jesus, we need you. Help us to remember that we do. Help us to be radically committed to the secret place, to pushing out anything that's in our way. If we have to get up at 4 a.m., so be it, because we want to know you. Fill us with that hunger, that desperation for you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, I'm going to invite you to stand for this final part, the part of surrender. And something that helps me in just thinking about surrender, you don't have to do this, but I like to just put my hands out like this and just surrender to God, just letting him know all I have is his. I have nothing but what he's given me. And I'm going to speak this verse as a prayer over you, and then I'm going to invite you to speak it out with me. Are you ready? May the God of hope fill you, fill us with all joy and peace in believing. Give us faith. Help us in our unbelief, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I, we may abound in hope. So let's pray that together over ourselves. Are you ready? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Praise the Lord. May he bless you. May his face shine upon you and give you joy and give you peace as you leave this place. God bless you, church family, and we'll see you next week.